Calls for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
We take our hearing for granted until something happens to it. What are the signs of hearing loss, and what are the factors that contribute to our losing our hearing, and what can you do about it? Well, these are just some of the issues we're going to discuss. My guest is Jennifer Cushing. She's an audiologist in private practice, and Jennifer, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you.
Now, tell me what an audiologist is or does.
An audiologist is a clinical specialist in hearing and balance disorders. We just specialize in hearing disorders, whether or not they're medical disorders or they're acquired or they're genetically related, and balance disorders such as dizziness problems, any vertigo issues.
I often wonder what's going to happen to our younger generation, because I see so many of them going around with earphones and they're listening to music, and sometimes it's loud. I've even been on airplanes and I could hear the music coming from the person next to me.
Every time I hear that myself, I think they'll be in my office in 5 to 10 years. So, you know, it's a rising concern that noise-induced hearing loss is going to just, it's going to become a very big health problem. Everyone should be concerned about their hearing. Their hearing is a prized possession because it's not something that you can regenerate. Once you lose your hearing, it's gone. And they're lucky that the technology today has really improved. So hearing aids and hearing aids can really help a person get some of the hearing back, but it never restores your hearing back to normal.
Well, one of the complaints that I hear about hearing aids is that they enhance background noise, and that's a difficult thing because you not only the conversation that's near you is louder, so is the background noise, and that can be very distracting.
It can be at times. That's the one complaint that has been there for since the hearing aid has been created, is background noise is a problem. Mm-hmm. And so it is the number one thing that hearing aid manufacturers strive to accomplish in their new technology.
Have they found a way around that?
It has gotten so much better, much, much better than what was out 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Even 3 years ago, it's much better. A lot of the times, you know, a hearing aid will amplify sound. That's what you want it to do. And if the background noise that you're listening to is conversation, say you're at a restaurant, there's a lot of speech around you, that can be a little bit difficult because a hearing aid also wants to enhance speech. So the hearing aid has to be smart enough and act like a little human brain to know that you just want to listen to the one person that you're facing and not all the people that are around you. And so that's one thing that hearing aid manufacturers are really getting very good at.
Because I know we have a friend who, and he has an ear problem, and I think it was due to being in the military. Mm-hmm. He saw some battle, and I feel that probably may have been a genetic predisposition to begin with, but he has said the same thing. So we often have dinner at home with them because it's just so much easier, or a restaurant that we know to be quiet, you know. But the noise level in restaurants is accelerating tremendously these days.
I know. A lot of the acoustics in some of the really nice restaurants are so poor, but the atmosphere is beautiful. So it's hard to get a have a happy restaurant where it's quiet and you have a great atmosphere around you.
Now, let me ask you, let's suppose that your profession, mm-hmm. whatever it is that you do, if you work with equipment or something like that, what do you do to protect your hearing so that you're not going to lose it? I mean, if you're doing something that there's a lot of noise around you generally, should you wear hearing earplugs?
Mm-hmm.
Or does that cut down on danger warnings? And it's an issue, I'm sure, with people in environments that are noisy. Mm-hmm.
The workplace should be regulated by the Occupational Safety and Hazard Administration, OSHA, in order to so that they know what type of ear protection they should be wearing, whether it should be earplugs or earplugs plus earmuffs, because they take regular measurements of how loud their environment is. And so they should be requiring their employees and even supplying these protection mechanisms to their employees so that their employees can protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very important. A lot of, you know, it's interesting. A lot of individuals who feel that they have hearing who have hearing loss feel that they have an extra protection, but they really don't. They're just adding on some of the noise damage.
So if they have already heard damage to their hearing, they really have to protect it to keep it from getting worse.
Exactly. And someone who's young, who's 18 or 20, working in some of these environments, construction and all that, they don't realize how much noise they're around. And so anytime you feel that, you know, you may be damaging your hearing, even if it just enters your mind for a second, you probably are. If you leave work and or anywhere loud and your ears are ringing, that could be very,
sign.
Very bad.
Well, what about concerts? I've been to concerts where I felt like I needed earplugs.
Absolutely.
Or even to benefits where the music is so loud mm-hmm. that you feel like you want to stick your fingers in your ears. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really uncomfortable.
I often just carry earplugs with me
and
my purse, and it just saves me because you never know if the music's going to be comfortable or if it's going to be outside of your comfort level.
Well, now the earplugs, they don't totally block out the hearing, right? So if someone were to say something mm-hmm. to me that was critical, I would be able to hear them.
Absolutely. Earplugs come in a number of noise reduction ratings, so you can get a noise plug that has a lower number of reduction, so you can hear your conversation very well. It goes up to generally about 30 decibels of reduction of noise, which if you're at a loud concert or somewhere, if you work in an environment that's very loud, of course, the higher number of noise reduction is recommended for you.
It seems to me that would be something that, like, musicians, I mean, but would they have the same sense of their playing if they mm-hmm. used earplugs? I mean, I'm sure mm-hmm. that's one of the concerns about what is their product going to sound like mm-hmm. if they don't truly hear all the range of tones. So, you know, I guess you have to draw a balance of between you rehearse with earplugs and don't use them when you perform or whatever.
Well, we encourage you to, when you're rehearsing, you sometimes play just as hard as when you're actually performing in front of a crowd. So we have a lot of patients who are musicians and they're doing the right thing in protecting their hearing. It often depends on where they are on the stage. If they're playing the bass guitar, then they may be standing in front of the speakers. And so we have quite a few musicians who come in to get ear protection. The filtering within those musician earplugs is a little bit different so that it doesn't reduce too much of their instrument or some of the neighboring instruments in the band. But they have several different types of noise protection for musicians that are available.
Let's just take a brief pause here and to let mm-hmm. our listeners know that they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jennifer Cushing. She's an audiologist in private practice, and we're talking about hearing loss. And, you know, we really don't think about it. As you say, it's something that we just kind of assume is there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start having a problem, this is a critical problem.
Absolutely.
Even no matter what kind of technological advances have been to deal with it, you still want to protect it. So one of the first lines of defense then would be earplugs. What do parents do with these kids who are constantly listening to music? Now, suppose they're not listening to it at a loud level, but it's just constant. Is that also a concern?
Not as much. You have a good point.
Although I doubt that they're listening to it at a reasonable level, but
the way that noise damage occurs, it has to do with kind of an equation. It has to do with the duration of your listening, and also the dosage, so the volume. So it's related to the volume and the length that you're listening at that volume. So if you're listening at a moderate level, something that, you know, when the earplugs are in your ears, most people around you cannot hear them, then that's probably a fairly safe level. And you can listen for a good amount of time and there's not going to be any damage. But if you really liked the loud music and it's very loud, then the length of time that you should be listening should be significantly less, because the more loud it is, the less time you should be listening at that level.
Is there any kind of rule of thumb to say, you know, an hour a day would be okay with loud music, but more than that isn't? Or is that just impossible and depends on the individual?
Yeah, there have been some studies and there are some standards, especially within the workplace. So they say that at 90 decibels, you should not, it's okay to be working in the workplace for 8 hours a day. once it get the volume gets above 90 decibels, then the number of hours you can be there is shorter. So.
But now, how does one know whether it's 90 decibels? How, you know, I don't carry a little meter around with me.
You're right. You're right. So kind of a rule of thumb is if you have to raise your voice and you're having a conversation with someone and they're maybe 3 feet away and you feel like you're raising your voice, then it's loud and that's
loud.
A loud environment. If you have to shout, then that's definitely an environment that can be harmful to your hearing. So that can, you know, at arm's distance, that's about 3 feet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so you kind of can develop your own little sense of whether or not there's too much noise going on there. But what about occasionally? I mean, I've been to restaurants where you absolutely have to shout. I resent that, first off, but I go sometimes because the food's great, some friends want to go there, or something or the other. That kind of, in you know, occasional exposure, is that a problem?
Probably not. A lot of exposure, as long as it's for a short period, and you can gauge, you know, as long as the person can hear you and you're not shouting excessively, you don't have to go up to their ear and actually shout into their ear, then it's probably a safe environment, especially if it's a restaurant. They're, you know, I think Zagat or someone, they have noise ratings on restaurants
yes.
in this area all
they
the
should,
time.
They should have noise ratings, and honestly.
So, yes.
If you don't really care about the people you're with, you don't need to talk to them. But if you really want to hear
if the
them.
The food's really good. You don't need to have
right.
a conversation.
That's right. Well, I was interested in reading that smoking can contribute to hearing loss.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Just a little bit, but it can increase your likelihood of acquiring some hearing loss after a long-term exposure with smoking.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what are some of the things that you can do to figure out whether or not, I guess you're going to know if you're having a hearing problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because what, you're going to be asking questions, people
some
around
people
you are going
know.
To understand,
they
don't know?
Yeah, the hearing loss in most individuals, it comes on very gradually. And then, you know, so you develop hearing loss over 10 to 15 years, and it happens so slowly that all of a sudden one day you wake up and you go, I don't think I'm hearing that bird like I used to, or I used to hear that clock on the wall and I don't hear it ticking anymore. So it just hits you all of a sudden. But usually before that period, when the patient or the person who has hearing loss realizes that they have a hearing loss, the family members or friends around them can usually say, oh, yeah, you know, you've been turning up the television quite loud. And, oh, yes, you've been asking us to repeat ourselves for a number of years. Or you've been complaining that people mumble. Those are definitely signs. And if you have, you know, even a slight difficulty hearing in background noise, that's definitely a sign that you may have some difficulty with, you may be developing some hearing loss.
And I think women's voices are harder to hear than men's because they're softer and lower, or not lower necessarily in terms of the bass, but just softer.
Some women's voices have a higher frequency range. We talk in a higher register, so female voices tend to have a little bit more of an impact on those that have hearing loss, especially individuals that have high frequency hearing loss. And children, too. Children have very soft-spoken voices. They have a very high-pitched tone. And so they would be also more difficult to hear than some individuals, such as males' voices.
So really awareness is one of the important things, just being aware that you're not hearing the way you mm-hmm. used to. Now, let's suppose that you determine that, okay, I'm probably not hearing the way that I used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the first step would be to visit someone like you, a specialist in hearing, and to find out what actually is going on.
Absolutely. If you notice any of those signs that I mentioned earlier, then you should definitely have a hearing screening or a diagnostic test, just a baseline to determine what your hearing is like. And so then that would determine whether or not you have any hearing difficulty. And from there, you can have your hearing tested in the future and determine if it's gradually occurring or if it's more rapidly progressing. So yes, absolutely. Go and have your hearing tested as soon as you feel that you have any difficulty hearing conversations or
okay,
sounds around you.
Okay, so protect yourself. Let's just take a brief pause here to let people know that they're listening to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jennifer Cushing. She's an audiologist in private practice. And they're testing us to see if we can hear the phone ring, Jennifer.
Yes. So
we heard it, didn't we?
Oh, yes.
I wonder if our audience
did.
Several
times.
At any rate, well, one shall prevail. Okay, so you go and you find out. Now, what are some of the options available to you? Let's suppose that you have a minor hearing loss. When does it become necessary to take action? In other words, would it be because you're so uncomfortable, you can't go to the movies, or you can go to the movies now and you get the earphones, or you can go to a concert and get the earphones. So there are a lot of things out there that will help people who have minor hearing losses.
Mm-hmm.
But is there something they should be doing to help prevent, or trying to find out what the environmental issues are or the genetic issues?
Well, I think a healthy lifestyle also adds to prevention. Definitely they should carry some ear protection if they can. Earplugs are so small and you can just stick them in your pocket if you know you're going to a concert. Even if you have a hobby, or even if you take care of your lawn, maintaining your lawn can be very loud too. So just having an awareness of the environmental sounds around you is very important. But a healthy lifestyle is also important, because if you don't maintain a well-balanced diet of vitamins and minerals, your body doesn't have the natural defenses that it would to tackle any damage that's occurring within the ear. So it is important to make sure that you have a balanced diet. So when you are in a noisy environment, you have the natural defenses. First line of defense is just your
okay,
your
now
body.
If someone comes to you, so you would give them, I'm sure, a battery of tests to determine what level of mm-hmm. loss they have. Would the first step just be to equip them with a mild hearing aid, one that's a very low-level hearing aid, or what would you do?
There are a few important things that I do after I test the patient and find out that they have some hearing loss. I first of all have to find out if the patient is motivated to try a hearing instrument, because that's the most important thing, because I'm not there to make sure that you put the hearing aid on in the morning and you're taking it off at night. So if the person who came in is not really ready to make that step, then we let them know that there is hearing loss. We inform them that there is a prevention method that we recommend, and then the routine measurement of a hearing test would be done in about a year's time. But you're absolutely right. If the person is ready to take the step and they have hearing loss that grants them a hearing aid, makes them a candidate for a hearing aid, then I would definitely recommend it at that appointment.
Are hearing aids generally covered under insurance, or is this something that we have to foot the bill ourselves?
Majority of the time, it is not covered by insurance. For adults, there are some plans such as Care First, United Healthcare, some Aetna plans. There are some benefits, but it generally does not cover the entire cost of a hearing aid.
Because hearing aids can be in the thousands of dollars.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, what if someone listening to us has a hearing aid and they just don't find that it's working properly and it's not meeting mm-hmm. their needs? Do you have any recourse, or are you stuck with it? I mean, what do you do? Because it's being used. It's a personal mm-hmm. device. How would you treat that?
First of all, I probably would find out if it has been reprogrammed. Most hearing aids that have been sold and purchased in the last 4 or 5 years are now digital hearing aids. So they can all be reprogrammed. And what that means is they're connected to the computer and they have a tune-up. Not that the hearing aid is actually refurbished, but they're retuned to your hearing loss. So if the person hasn't had their hearing tested in over 2 years, it's important to have a hearing test, especially if you're a hearing aid user, to make sure the hearing aid is properly tuned to your current hearing loss. And then we would reprogram the hearing aid to make sure that it fits the needs of that person at that time.
Mm-hmm. So it's really important then to visit the audiologist to make certain that mm-hmm. as you progress, and as we age, we tend to lose hearing and mm-hmm. a lot of other things too. So it would be really important to have periodic checkups, just as you would with your doctor,
right,
to make certain that the hearing aid is situated. Now, is there any such thing as a program to turn in a hearing aid that if you want to upgrade to a new one, or you have to start from scratch?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's not a universal program. It depends on the office that you go to. Our office has a program once a year where we do an upgrade, a trade-in, and you would get a discount off of your new hearing aids. But that's just our office. It depends on the promotion that your office, that your audiologist provides to you. Normally, there is not such a program.
Is there such a thing as a test period that you can wear a hearing device for a period of time, and if it doesn't meet your needs, then you could get another one?
Absolutely. It's a medical device and it costs thousands of dollars. So it's something that we, as part of the state of Maryland's requirement for our license, is that we provide the consumer with a trial period. And the trial period is a minimum of 30 days. So depending on the audiologist that you see, it may range from 30 days to 45 days to 60 days. But as long as you have a minimum of 30 days, you have that time to evaluate whether or not the hearing aids are satisfactory. And you should expect that you go into the audiologist probably two or three times during that trial period to receive the appropriate programming adjustments and make sure that, you know, you're cleaning it properly, because those are very important routine things that you'll have to do in order to help the hearing aid last longer.
But you can't make the adjustments to it, the tuning of it, the fine-tuning of it yourself. You've got to have a professional do that.
Yes. It is something that's done at the office. It's not something that the patient normally does at home. So, but the cleaning and the routine, you know, changes of the battery, those are things that are done at home. And we want to make sure that during the trial period, they understand all these maintenance things so that they are using and operating the hearing aid as they should.
Is it likely that you get a hearing aid and it works fine? You're able to adjust to it. Can you use it for a period of years? I mean, it's not something you have to trade in every other year or something like that.
Well,
depends.
Yeah.
I know it depends on your state and what happens to your hearing, but if you stabilize.
Right. If you have a stable hearing loss, or it's just very gradually changing over time, then a hearing aid may last 5 to 7 years. There are the exceptional patients who can maintain their hearing aids for 10 years, but the majority of patients wear their hearing aids about 14 hours a day, every day. And so that's a very long time. That usage.
A lot of use.
Yeah, that usage will wear down the hearing aid at 5 years.
Well, I guess what you're telling us, Jennifer, if we want to avoid all these expenses, we have to avoid all the loud noises and the things that we can control.
Right.
We cannot control the genetic predisposition towards hearing loss. So at any rate, it's encouraging to know that we can. The cotton doesn't work, right? Don't do that. So there are lots of things that we can do as individuals to help protect our hearing. Thank you so much for being with us. I think you've given us some information that's going to help us protect our hearing. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest. My guest has been Jennifer Cushing, an audiologist in private practice. And I'm Shirley Rooker, and you're listening right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.